Hearing of your righteousness, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we praise You because You are the cornerstone, the foundation of our lives. We trust in You, Lord, to make us strong, to give us hope, security, and peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to say a word of welcome to all of you, a special welcome to our visitors. We're grateful to have you with us today, and we'd like to get to know you
a little bit. Many people, of course, to welcome you, but there will be elders in front for prayer after the service and elders at the doors greeting. We would like to visit with you and give you some information about Crossroads Church. Just a note for the visitors, Pastor Mark is gone today with his family. I'm filling in. I'm one of the elders here at Crossroads and a retired pastor as well. When we come together here, as it was noted already, it's no accident we're here. And it's not just a greeting like people give greetings to each other. We are welcomed here by the God of heaven and earth. So we say, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Then let's take a few moments to greet those who are around you.
Too many people around us.
No, probably not, no. Good morning, Ron.
I was impressed.
Oh?
If that was me that hit that bottom step, I'd be sitting down on the on the floor or someplace else.
So many questions. The world is reaching, so many hurting, so many lost. With all this striving, who can we lean on? Creation's crying out from the dark. I know the answer to every question, the one solution to every fear. I know my help and where it comes from. Jesus, He is the answer. He sees our sadness, He feels our sorrow, and in our weakness He is strong. He holds the weight of all of our failings. Great is our sin, but greater the cross. I know the answer to every question, the one solution to every fear. I know my help and comes from Jesus, He is the answer. For every heart that's breaking, for every soul that's shaking, for every sickness there's healing in your hands. Let every heart awaken to see it's you who saves us. You are my hope, the rock on which I stand. You are the answer to every question, the one solution to every fear. You are my help and where it comes from. Jesus, you are the answer. Jesus, you are the answer.
From Jeremiah, no one is like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power.
The psalmist declares, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods.
And finally, from 1 Chronicles 29, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. How great thou art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
For a time of confession this morning, I'd like to remind you of just a couple of points of view from the Psalms on sin. In Psalm 32, David tells the Lord how he's overwhelmed by this feeling of guilt. He says, my bones wasted away with my groaning all day long. That is, when you try to cover up sins, you can't get rid of that guilt that seethes inside your soul. But another time David prays, forgive my hidden faults. Thoughtless sins, perhaps, that we don't even recognize. Wherever we are with that, let's open our hearts together to the Lord in prayer. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake. And we begin this way, Lord, because it's the only way we dare to approach you. We come to you with those sins that plague us with guilt and anxiety. And we come to you with those hidden sins that are so characteristic of us that we don't even recognize them. Bless us with the healing of hearts that comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the words of assurance again from David in Psalm 32, reminding us of the gift that we are assured of our forgiveness. Blessed is one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Take that with you today. At this time, children are dismissed for children and worship, and you can follow the flag on the way out. We're going to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9 for our reading this morning. About 40 years ago or so, I was still in seminary. As graduation neared, our anxiety level tended to rise as we began to think about where were we going to end up after graduation. Sometimes we'd sit in the coffee shop there at the seminary, and we'd joke a little bit about getting that call to the church in Dispatch, Kansas. dispatch, just by its name and location, of course, was a church about as far out in the sticks as we could imagine. And indeed, Dispatch is a small rural church off about on dirt gravel roads a couple of miles far from any town. So I graduated from seminary in 1979, was declared eligible for call, and I waited. And not very long, because my first and only call came. And can you guess where it came from? No, not Dispatch, but only 70 miles away. And I received my one and only call from the Christian Reformed Church in Lector, Kansas, which, by the way, is Dorothy Heiser's home church. So one day in early September, we loaded up our car, tore our 11-month-old daughter away from both sets of grandparents, and headed into the unknown. Now, I had actually had a chance to visit the church before I accepted the call, but Barb wasn't there. All she had was my report and some pictures to go on. So off we went into a lot of unknown, to a church called Lucter, a word immigrants had taken from their homeland, which means struggle. It was exciting. It was sad. A great opportunity, but at the same time, we were leaving behind our families and our loved ones. It turned out to be a great blessing, of course. But I tell you this just to suggest that I feel like I have a little something in common with Abram as he receives God's call to leave his home and his family. Here's his story from Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on to the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. We are called people. Can you imagine what that might have been like for Abram? Can you imagine what that might have been like for Sarai? Maybe it would have been something like this. Sarai, where are you?
I'm in here, Abram. I was thinking this room needs some updating. Maybe some new paint, and that old chair has to go.
Well, I don't think so.
But your brother's been updating his home.
But we're going to be moving.
Oh. You look serious.
Yes, I am. We've got to move.
Moving? Where did this come from? Is it because the grass is getting thin for the sheep?
Well, God talked to me this morning.
God? You mean those gods your father has lined up on his shelf?
No, this is the real God. He really spoke to me.
And he told you to move?
Yes. I know this sounds strange, Sarai, but he was so real to me, and his words are so compelling. I just have to go.
And go where?
Well, he didn't say exactly. Just go, he said, and I'll show you where to go.
Are you kidding? We're supposed to just walk away from our families and this life we've built for ourselves here and just walk off into the unknown?
Yes, Sarah, I know this sounds strange, but this God is like nothing we've ever met before. We've got to go. Now, I have to say that Barb gets an honorable mention here. She graduated from high school and began nurses training with three very firm convictions in her heart. And she even told God, this is what's going to happen, or not happen. First, she would never do nursing administration, which she did for about 20 years. Second, she would never live in Iowa. You can see how that worked out. Third, she would never marry a doctor or a minister. We always kind of imagine God chuckling about that 45 or so years ago. Actually, I think we could describe our beginning relationship as bait and switch. When we started going together, Barb thought she was in line for marrying an engineer. So when about 6 months into our relationship, I told her that I was heading for the ministry, she had to stop and think about that. I'm very glad she decided to stick with me. God's calling is a powerful word. Abram can't resist it. And every one of us receives God's calling in some way. Through Scripture, parents, teachers, Christian friends, we hear the call. Instead of where you want to go in life, you follow God. God is leading you. Sometimes in mysterious ways, God talks to us. He might wake us up to some kind of emptiness in our souls and realize that there's something inside that's missing. And we find that the answer is in knowing God. Or maybe reading some particular Bible story might convince us that God is touching us within, taking us up into his purpose. In some sorrow or disappointment, God can get through to us. In the middle of success and blessing, God can open new doors to us. You see, God has a place for us, a role to fill in his church and kingdom. You know, the common way people plan their future is by seeking self-fulfillment. Harold's parents immigrated from Norway to Montana. Harold grew up there. He married. He lived as a rancher all his life. When Harold died, full of years, even though cancer brought him low, he found warm comfort in knowing he was going home. Lying in his hospital bed, he told his pastor, "I'll be going soon, but not until the Lord decides it's time. And when that time comes, there won't be anything the doctors or nurses can do about it, and I'll be ready." Life turned out different for his grandson, Steve. Steve had become successful in producing and selling computer software. Steve pursued the path of self-fulfillment and found it lacking. He talked some about moving his family out to Montana, where his life seemed so secure and peaceful for his grandfather, whom he respected highly, but his wife didn't want to leave Seattle. And after the funeral, Steve became confused and angry. He lost interest in his job and his marriage. Like many of his generation, Steve was preoccupied with himself. But you see, God has created us to recognize him. If all we do is focus on self-esteem and what we want, we will be empty and life will be worthless. It's only when we recognize something of the attractiveness of God's glory that we can realize that life is meaningful. John 1 tells us that Jesus came to us by leaving his Father's side so that he could make God known to us. He made an even bigger sacrifice than Abram did in leaving his father and his family. And we must all answer God's call. As a church, we must do that. We are not here just to meet our needs. We are not just a place for marrying and burying people. God has given us a place to be useful to him. And only when we fulfill that purpose will we find joy and peace in being his church here. We are not here to do our own will, but the will of him who called us here. And so Jesus, in his time, calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. He reminds us in another place that even fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters must take second place to answering his call. He calls us away from the world's way of getting over and above people and lording it over people and says, be a servant of one another. You see, when God calls us, he blesses us to be a blessing. Here is a pattern that is ingrained into life as deeply as the patterns of love and parenting. For example, you read the story in our news in the past months about these parents who starved their daughter to death. Parents are supposed to love and nurture their children. So every time we read stories like this, we groan inwardly. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So, what is life supposed to be? God gives us this pattern, which he gave in Abraham's life. Blessed to be a blessing. That is, when blessing comes to us, we must pass it on. God calls Abram, gives him a place in a new land, and something is supposed to happen. The blessing is not a gift to hoard. Sometimes in our lives there is this selfish tendency to hoard the blessings. One story stands out in our family history book. Barb had made a strawberry pie for supper. I had to eat supper and be out of the house before everybody else came home that night. So I ate one piece of pie, left just enough in the pie plate for the rest of the family to have just one piece each, and hid the rest of the pie in the bottom of the refrigerator, making it look like I had eaten half the pie myself. Wow, did I raise a storm of protest! But of course they were right. It would have been wrong for me to hoard the blessing. This is the nature of what God gives us. His blessing is not something we can wrap our arms around and cling to for ourselves. God promises that Abram will be famous. He will be blessed. He will be protected by God. That's pretty exciting stuff. If about the time you graduated from high school, somebody could have told you and assured you that, yes, you would be famous and protected and everything would go well for you, that would really be something, wouldn't it? God can do that. But he won't just bless you for your own sake. He will make you a blessing. And that blessing must flow. If it doesn't, it's not a blessing. It becomes a curse. Abram will somehow bring blessing and hope and joy to the people of all the earth, God says. And we know that ultimately that happens through his greater son, Jesus, who brings life and hope to all people. So all over the world and down through history, people trust in Jesus as their Savior and receive the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. People gather in his church and find a place of fellowship and acceptance. And so, through Jesus, you and I are all blessed to be a blessing. That's the pattern of God's grace. Grace must flow. It comes to us and it must flow out to others. Just as food produces energy in our bodies that turns into useful work, so God's grace produces loving service. That's what God has made us for. So, God has called and equipped you for some particular purpose. He has given you gifts so that you can enrich others. He has provided you with opportunities to be useful in his kingdom. God's blessing is his gift. A blessing is not a privacy issue. You know, in our society, we make a big deal out of private property. Our homes are private places. Our cars are our personal possessions. Our hopes and our dreams are our personal choices. But God's blessings are not like that. We are obligated to use his blessing for others because that is God's calling. So if you are blessed with an ability to sing or lead or pray or encourage, you must be doing those things for the sake of the church. If you have the opportunity to share your faith or lead others in service, don't bottle that up inside because God has made you for this. And God has absolute ownership rights over all of us. God calls us as a church to be a blessing. And we cannot ignore God's blessing. And so we hold in our hearts the rich treasures of the gospel, being alert to those with whom we can share that gospel. We have service to offer, which is why we might volunteer at the homeless shelter or go on a mission trip or support our mission partners. Each of us must fulfill God's calling. And when we pool our gifts and our time and our money, as a church, we can do even more. God has called us together so that we can be a blessing. We must be giving the gift of love and service to others. And we give out of the rich gifts God has given us. So we need to be searching out the ways that we can be a blessing, knowing we are answering God's call. We are discovering ways in which we can use God's blessing to be a blessing. Now, God doesn't give us an exact blueprint. He said to Abram, "Go to this land, I will show you." I take that to mean that God didn't map out a detailed plan and say, "Yeah, that's where you're going to be when you get there." We know that he did not explain to Abram and Sarai how long they would have to wait until their child of promise came. We don't know the long-range future of this congregation. But all we can do is take the steps of faith that are clear to us here now and see where God leads us beyond that. But it's not a shot in the dark. God promises blessing. And we can only spread that blessing on by what we do here. And we are all blessed to be a blessing in God's kingdom. Not just blessed, of course, to hoard what we have for ourselves, but gifted to give some of that gift to others. Now, only a few of us are called to campus ministry in Connecticut or working with Christian Solidarity International in Africa. But we are gifted by God as parents to love our children and lead them to Jesus. We are blessed with money to share with others in need. We are blessed with gifts like kindness to share, perhaps with someone we work with. We are blessed with compassion for someone nearby who's hurting. We are blessed with the gentleness of the Holy Spirit to encourage perhaps that student at school who's hurting. We are blessed with forgiveness so that we can forgive our spouse. We are blessed so that we can love that enemy at work or school or even at home. Some of God's blessing will work out in simple daily blessings that we can spread around us. Some of God's gifts will set the major course of our lives. And you'll notice from our scripture reading that as Abram traveled around this new land, he kept building altars here and there. That is, he knew that he owed everything to this God. We are here because God has graciously called us. He has welcomed us into his family through Jesus Christ. And God's gracious calling demands our response. Remember, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And so we see ourselves on a journey. Something like Abram, though probably very different too. Finding new ways, finding new gifts to fulfill God's calling. And along the way, we keep faithfully worshiping. And in that close relationship with the Lord, we will find the ways that we can be a blessing. There's a famous quote from missionary James Elliott, the one who became a martyr for the faith, actually. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Here it is once again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Like Abram and Sarai, we do not have a clear blueprint in front of us. We can only step forward in faith and the trust that God has the grace to meet our needs and give us a place in his kingdom. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for all of your gifts. Most of all for the gift of Jesus who left the Father's side to lead us into your presence. Now may we walk in his ways. And whatever it may cost us, Lord, self-denial and sacrifice, may we also find the rich rewards of sharing your grace in our lives. In Jesus we pray, amen. Now we're going to be giving our offerings for Resonate Global Missions, the international arm of our denomination's mission work. And while we give those offerings, we're going to be viewing a video about Rehoboth Christian School in New Mexico, and that's in preparation for offering for Rehoboth next week. And as the friendship folders can be passed around, we encourage you to fill out the information on those as well.
Thank you. 1903, the Christian Reformed Church purchased a 320-acre ranch just 6 miles east of Gallup. Beginning a school that year with only 6 students. Now, Rehoboth has grown to over 400 students and has one of the most ethnically diverse student bodies of any Christian school in the country. Through God's faithfulness, Rehoboth has continued to grow despite institutional and individual shortcomings. Rehoboth now celebrates the diversity and culture of its students. Navajo language is taught starting as young as kindergarten. Rehoboth also boasts a high school choir and band program, which have received top honors in New Mexico and have toured in more than 15 states. And our chaplaincy program encourages and mentors students through leadership training, missions, and retreats. Today, parents choose Rehoboth Christian School for their children because they see that we aspire to be light in our world by bringing hope and opportunity through life-changing Christian education. We strive to be vigorously academic, beautifully diverse, and thoroughly Christian.
Here at Rehoboth, we have many different cultures, and the staff encourages friendship and respect among all the students. I grew up in a traditional home, so I feel like I make those connections with many of the students, because some of them do come from homes where Christ is not a part of the house.
I believe that Rehoboth is a safe place for a lot of people, and I think it's a home for not only the students, but a lot of the families.
Like many places around the country right now, students are facing so many different challenges as they grow up. But sometimes it just seems here that there are so many families that are broken, that people are struggling with in poverty or with addiction. So many different things that can make people feel hopeless. And it is exciting to be part of a ministry, and that has been around here for 115 years, that really has been a place of hope.
God created this school. I got to learn and make friends, and he gave me a lot of new friends and best friends and teachers. Mr. Newell kept praying with me about everything that was pretty bad with my family. And then God helped me, and it got better and better.
Recently, one of the seniors that graduated, I knew him last year, but he graduated, and he still says, like, Horizon, if you ever need someone to talk to him. Yeah. So even after people graduate, they're still in the Rehoboth community, so that's good.
Rehoboth Christian School could not flourish without your partnership. There are many ways that you can be involved. First, you can volunteer. The Destination Rehoboth program provides individual and group volunteers of all ages the possibility to make a difference in our community and in our school. Another way you can be involved is to be a sponsor. Sponsorships allow you to not only financially provide for students to attend Rehoboth, but also establish a relationship of encouragement academically and spiritually. Finally, you can be involved with giving financially. Your gifts allow us to provide an education that challenges students to know the triune God and equips them to love, serve, and transform their world in His name. And we hope that you will continue to partner with us.
Let's join together in our congregational prayer. We praise you, Lord God, for all of your greatness and glory. And day after day, as the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of your hands. Every day, Father, we find reason to celebrate your goodness and mercies to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we receive that word of assurance and trust that our sins are forgiven and that we are part of your family. We are your beloved children. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering through the hurricane on the East Coast. We pray that you will comfort those who mourn, that you will strengthen those who have suffered loss, and that you will bring communities together. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of the Christian church that has provided place for shelter, and that will reach out, such as World Renew, to bring assistance to the poorest of the poor who struggle to rebuild after an event like this. Remind us, Lord, to be thankful for all the peace and blessings that come our way. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for Kurt Heiser today. We thank you that there is some encouraging news that he doesn't need surgery, but help him through the lifestyle changes that need to come too, and perhaps a new job and whatever else needs to change. We pray that you will be a comfort to him and his family. We pray for Jordan Ray and his family as they're going through a time of deep anguish and struggle. We pray that you'll provide healing, that this little child may come around to full health and strength and the joy of life and knowing your calling. We thank you, Lord, for the good news from Breslin that she will soon be able to ring that bell of triumph and victory, and we pray that the future for her may open up with bright possibilities. Continue to give your care, your love, your comfort to the Hammonds as they struggle through LaVon's cancer. We pray that you will show them your love in the middle of all of this, whether it be healing or some other path they must follow. And in all the other needs and challenges that are represented, we know, some we don't know, but you know, Lord, all that is going on in our lives, all the fears and disappointments and frustrations, we bring them to you knowing that you are the one who can lead us through. We pray for Dan Wilson and Alyssa Clapper as they're getting ready to be married next week. We pray that you will unite them in the bond of love that they share in Jesus Christ, and equip them, Lord, for a life together in your service. Be with us as we offer our service in the food pantry this week. We pray that we may touch the lives of people in our community. Bless our children and worship program, Sunday school, Awana's youth, and all the other opportunities we have for gathering for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. May these all be opportunities for growing faith in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we could give our offerings for Resonate Global Missions this morning. We pray that in this way we can contribute to a work that is proclaiming your gospel throughout the world, and may it go out powerfully, Lord, bringing in the fruit that you determine it to be for your kingdom. And now, Lord, we're hearing all these ads on TV in preparation for the coming elections. We pray that you will give us wisdom, discerning hearts as we listen, so that we can understand how best your kingdom work can be done through and sometimes even in spite of our leadership. May your church be a strong and powerful example of your kingdom work in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there any announcements this morning? Go ahead.
So Galatians 5:22-23 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So we all love, we experience joy, we're kind, but what does the scripture truly say about what that means? So we would like to invite all the women in the congregation to coffee break this season as we study the fruit of the Spirit. And if you want to know times, more information, that is in the bulletin. We start Wednesday night, and then we have also Thursday morning. So the first meeting will just be get together and have coffee and dessert, and then our study will start next week. So want to invite everyone to come and join us.
Okay, anyone else?
I have two, actually, from early teens. First, we are looking for prayer partners. This is something we did 2 years ago. We did not do it last year, but the kids really liked it and asked for it back. So we are looking for people to partner with each teen in our group. Right now, we have about 17 kids coming to early teens. About half of those don't go to our church. And so we like just to have them feel like they're part of our church and our community. So we just ask about once a month, you drop them a little note. I do have a sheet filled out. They filled out their names, what grade they're in, some treats that they would maybe like in their box as well. We have a box in the youth group room. It will have their name on it. You can just slip it in their mailbox. So about once a month, a little note of encouragement, maybe a little treat would be fantastic. So if you're willing to do that, please see me after church or shoot me an email. And then our early teens are doing kind of a service for the younger kids in our church. They've made these little packets here, and we'll have these every week. There's some coloring pages, crayons, and a treat. So feel free to grab them. They're in a mailbox in the back there. At the end of the service, if you'll just put your crayons back in the baggie and put your clipboard in the back, it'd be great, and we'll just keep refilling those.
Hi. I want to call your attention to an opportunity to be a blessing that's been in the bulletin. Crossroads Prison Ministries, used to be known as Crossroads Bible Institute. Provides Bible study lessons for prisoners. And earlier this year, they decided to allow the prisoners to have to pay for their postage. It's in the bulletin if you want to read it. And there's been an overwhelming response, so they need a lot more people to correct these lessons. It's not a difficult thing to do. It takes about an hour, and it's a different lesson, different prisoner each time, unless you want to sign up to be a mentor. And I'm wondering how many people right now in church correct lessons? Okay. We need some more, I guess. So I was going to say, talk to one of those people, but talk to me or the deacons if you want to know more about it. Thanks.
Okay, that's it. Then I invite you to stand to receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed, living he loved me. Dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree. And took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one springing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day. Oh, glorious day, glorious day, oh, glorious day.